Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you hear? I love that part of that song. The cross still stands.
Yes.
The blood still flows.
Yes.
The grave is still empty.
Yes.
And guess what? Hell still knows.
Yes.
It's been defeated. It's done. It's all the way done. It's not a little bit done. It's not partially done. It's all the way done. Jesus' sacrifice was total, complete. He said, it is finished. And when He said it was finished, that was it. It was done. Hell was defeated. It is over. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. And guess what? That name that is above every name, Jesus, that's our name to use. So every time hell whispers in your ear and tells you, you're not good enough, no you can't, God can never, shut your mouth.
Amen.
It's over. The last I checked, you keep talking, but I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And where you're going, you're not going to like it. So you just keep on chattering. Amen.
Amen.
I'm fired up. You guys can sit down if you want to. You can stand up if you want to. It's kind of funny because in the middle of that song, Genesis 3:14 came to me. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling and eating dust as long as you live. Can I tell you something, church? Every time He runs His mouth, every time he opens it, kick a little dust right in His mouth and watch Him choke on it. He's got nothing for you. Absolutely nothing. Amen. That is not part of my message, but I'm a little bit stirred up because I hate it. I'm so sick to death of the lies. I am sick and tired of it. I hate it. I don't even know what to call it. There is just this anger. That's it. It's just anger. And it's a holy, it's not at people. It's not at people. It's at the spirits that get in people's heads, that whisper. Because I had one of those spirits that absolutely plagued me for half of my life. But when Jesus showed up, my God, when He showed up, every lie was exposed for what it was. Amen. And that tonight, that is what we were, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. Because there's always unity, there's always a flow when the Holy Spirit is involved. So Pastor Dave came in this morning, and he was talking with somebody, and part of what he was talking about, I was like, man, that's everything the Lord's been speaking to me. Like, he could literally, just in talking, he could preach Sunday night's sermon. And then Pastor Lacey got up, and she started preaching, and I was like, glory to God. It's at least I'm not going to be coming out of left field where people are going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, it's everything is just a complete laminar flow. It's just easy. It's smooth. It's gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. Tonight's message is called Seek First. And it comes from Matthew 6:33, which was talked about this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? But as I was studying and praying this morning, the Lord said, I want you to go back. And I said, okay. He said, start in verse 22. So Matthew 6, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic, by the way, so if it doesn't sound like or read like your translation, that's why it might be different. So if your eye is sound, your entire body will be full of light. But if your eye is unsound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the very light in you is darkened, how dense that darkness is. And it ties right in beautifully as I read it. Imagine that. God knows what He's doing. Seek first. Pastor Lacey talked about it this morning in the sermon. We can get hung up really easy on things that we deem important, right? It's good to provide for your family. It is good that I have a job. It is good that I make money to pay the bills that we have. However, that cannot be my all in all. my focus, our focus cannot be, I keep seeing this thing wave outside my eye, it's messing with me. But that cannot be our focus. It can't be our own. So my career can't be everything that drives me. It cannot be. As noble as the world will tell you that is, in God's eyes, no. Because a little bit further, he talks about you cannot serve two masters. And if it becomes about my career, if it becomes about all the worries of this life, guess what? I have made all that stuff my God. Because it's influencing everything I do. Everything I do. And I am telling you this from a place of not like pointing at you, but saying I have to keep my heart pure because it's something that tries to get after me day in and day out. It's important to provide for your family. It's important to, but God said do this, but what about? Yeah, but what about? If God said do it, there'll be provision for it.
Amen.
There will be.
Yes, amen.
And I'm saying that to you just as much as I'm saying it to myself right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. He talks about if it's dark, well, how dense that darkness is. Why? Because no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is riches. It's the riches of things that this world has to offer. It's all earthly, materialistic stuff. That's what he's talking about there. And if our eyes become consumed with that stuff, no matter how noble it may seem, we're still missing the mark. And that is very humbling. That is very humbling. So even when you start to step out of that place, and this is kind of where I'm at, to be completely transparent, this is what I'm starting to learn myself in my walk with the Lord. Okay? So even when you start to come out of that place and you realize that, right? And you start speaking promises, and you get all fired up. You can go listen to Pastor Jonathan Shuttlesworth, and you can listen to Pastor Rodney and Jesse Duplantis, and you can listen to all these ministers deliver a powerful word and get you all fired up. And you grab a hold of that word, take off running, right? And all of a sudden, after a while, it's like, why am I not seeing the things that I want to be seeing? Anybody else ever ask that question? Like, why? Where's that? Like, I know I heard you say, do this. And we did it in faith. Where's it at? It's very easy to sit back and go, God, what are you doing? Like, you're messing up. You obviously are not paying attention to what I'm doing. But that's not the case. And I do. I say that joking. That is not the case at all. So what is left? If God is good and he's perfect, he's righteous. Everything he has done, everything that he has set in place is for our good. Everything. All of it. There is not a single word in this book that is meant to hurt us. It is all for our benefit. All of it. So why am I not seeing it? Could it be maybe that something's off in here? Maybe. Yeah. Because I got news for you, and this is revelation. It's not something wrong with God's heart. There's nothing wrong with God's heart. It's perfect. It's pure. So I asked him as all this was going on, like, what is it, God? Like, why? Because it's a genuine question. It's not going at God accusing him of anything. Have your kids ever come up to you and said, Mom, Dad, why? I know you said that this is what it needs to be, and I did it, but this doesn't always feel good. This isn't always what I want it to be. Why? It's for your good. It is always for your good. And sometimes our kids' heart, as they grow up, their hearts aren't in the place. And it's not that they're wrong. But their heart isn't in the right place to fully grasp and understand and comprehend what it is that we're doing for them. So maybe, just maybe, it could be that as God's children, maybe our hearts aren't always in the right spot to fully grasp and comprehend just what it is He's doing for us. Maybe my eye is off. I come to church. I can build myself up on the way to church. I have learned that it is not exactly what, and I think it was Pastor Lacey that said it. I'm not all the way sure who said it this morning. But it's not just roll out of bed, throw some clothes on, come to church, and wipe the crust out of the corner of my eye, and yeah, glory to God. It's not, no, I've learned to allow myself time to bask in His presence before I get here, because He's inside of me. So I should be in His presence all the time, right? But if my eye isn't right and I don't understand that, then I'm just going to show up to church on Sunday morning, wipe a little crusty out of the corner and be like, really, this is it? This is what I showed up for? A few songs and a sermon and I'm hungry. I just want to go eat some lunch. And okay, we laugh, but it's a true story, right? So maybe it could be something with my eye. Maybe it's something off. Maybe I need to understand something. Could it be that if Jesus said, I can't serve God and mammon, right? He made it very plain. And you can take, just understand, I just want you to go with me for a second. Okay, take mammon out of the equation. He still said you cannot serve two masters. Before He said God and mammon, He said you cannot serve two masters. So could it be that I went and sat in some meetings? Could it be that I've listened to some teachings? Could it be that I've had mighty men of God pour into my life all good things? Nothing that they said missed the mark. Nothing that they said was false. Nothing that they said was impure. But maybe, just maybe, I forgot about the one who gave the promise. And maybe I grabbed the promise and stuck it in the place of my worship. Anybody? Maybe, just maybe. And it's from God. It is from God. But guess what? So's the command to have a job and take care of my family. He said to do that. He said to not provide. For me, as the spiritual head of my house, as a father of two children, as the husband of my wife, it is wrong. I am worse than an unbeliever if I don't provide for my family. So to do that, it's good. But if I elevate it and put it in the wrong position in my life, it's wrong. I've missed the mark. So guess what that means? If I take this promise, just any promise, maybe it's Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Maybe if I take that and stick that here, make that the focus, it's wrong. That can't be my focus. It is something that I need to speak and confess. Absolutely. I'm not saying don't confess it. I'm not saying don't grab a hold of it. What I'm saying is, do not grab a hold of it and that become your everything. Because all of a sudden what you will do is, what we inherently as human do is, if our focus is on that, we, everything we start looking at is run through the filter, not of Him, but of a promise that we are expecting to see. Again, it's not bad to expect it. But inevitably, everything I begin to do is going to be done through the filter of trying to manufacture that promise on my own. Yep. Good word. Guess what that's not going to do? Produce any good fruit. It might be good for a minute. It might be. But you've heard it preached from this pulpit many times. If it's your arm that took you there, it's your arm that's got to keep you there. And my arms are not going to be able to keep me where God wants me to go. None of us. I don't care how big your arms might be. Go to the gym, Grab some, do some curls. Come on. Go ahead and build them up. Still ain't going to be strong enough. I promise. You won't be. Need bigger shoulders? Do some overhead presses. You won't be strong enough. Any exercise you want to put in there, it's not going to work. It won't. Not because you're faulty, but you were created as a dependent creature. We were created to need God. Like it or not. So when you have that moment where you're like, no, I'll just do it this way, red flags should start flying up. I'm preaching to myself, just so you know. If you spent longer than 10 minutes with me and had a conversation, you know this is something that I'm working on every day. I've not arrived, not by any stretch. And I don't preach this as if I have. At least I hope I don't. Because I have not, I promise. I have not. Let's get back into the scripture, because the scripture, that's where it's at. Therefore I tell you, this is verse 25, stop being, now I love the way the Amplified Classic puts this, okay? This is phenomenal. Stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious and worried about your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food and the body, and far above and more excellent than clothing? Jesus is saying that we were created for a whole lot more than what we realize. A whole lot more. It's not about how nice the knot in your tie looks on Sunday morning when you walk in. That's a shot at myself, just so you know. Because I like my knot to be just so if I wear a tie. It's got to be just right. And I will retie it 6 times if I have to. That might be nice and everything, but really at the end of the day, what am I accomplishing? What? So maybe if I walk downstairs, my wife might say, hey, you look nice today. Yes! But even that, as nice as that is, it's fleeting. That's not what life is. It's not my purpose in life. God did not stick me here to please everybody around me. He didn't. Right now, when you have the privilege to stand here and minister to God's people, you're preaching for Him. This is for Him. It's not for anybody else. When it starts to become about anything other than Him, it's not right. It's not. So if we do that, if we take a promise, let me get back on track, Joe. If we grab a promise and we stick that in the number one spot, okay? How do things normally look? Anybody? It can be interactive. You guys don't have to sit there quietly. I like to have conversations. But it doesn't look good, does it? You elevate that promise, and inevitably you start, everything you do, everything that you put your hand to is working to try to make that thing come to pass. And you don't realize, typically we don't realize it when we're doing that. We have no idea. Everything that we do, we think we're being good and noble and spiritual and holy and set apart unto God. Almost. Not quite. We can love Him. We can absolutely love Him. But can I ask you a question? And this goes along with this. And I heard, anybody know who John Bevere is? Anybody? Okay. I love John Bevere. I love him. And he said that he went and he had an opportunity to go and sit with a minister who had a terrible thing happen. He committed fraud. And this minister got put in jail. Lost his whole ministry. He got put in jail. And John had the opportunity to go sit and talk with him. And John said he had one of the most profound conversations in the shortest amount of time that he had ever had. Because he sat across from the table looking at this minister. And he said to him, I don't understand how this could happen. Because I sat in your meetings. I saw the genuine love for Jesus that you had. I saw it. I watched you weep as you read the Word of God because the anointing was so strong upon you. I don't understand how you could love Jesus as much as you do and be sitting where you are. And the minister looked at him from across the table and said, John, he said, love's not the problem. I love Jesus. The problem was I forgot to fear the Lord. I loved him, but I forgot to fear him. And we don't like to talk about that typically in the American church. We don't. Largely, if our flesh, and I'm, look, complete honesty, if my flesh had its way, the gospel would be as soft and spongy as a marshmallow. It would be all about love. Jesus loves you so much. And everything that he did, it's ironic because I hate marshmallows. But anyway, just God is so good. Isn't he good? Everything he does, and I've heard Pastor Jonathan say this, I don't know how many times. How many know you can't out-sin God's grace? Ooh. Where is that fear? And it's not fear like, turn and run. It's that understanding who he is. This is the God that in the beginning said, let there be light. And there was light. Guess what? Little tidbit of information. He hadn't created the sun, the moon, or the stars yet. It wasn't light from that. It was light from his glory that went out into all creation and lit that thing up. Amen. It was his glory. Yes. That's the God that we serve. Amen. When you have that perspective and that's there, it'll mess you up in a good way. I can't even remember what song it was now. But we were on the way here tonight. And it's not a particular worship song that I hear. And I'm like, man, I really like this song. But something, there was a line in that song. And it put the train of my thought on his goodness and messed me up. Not able to contain myself. Riding down the road just crying. Just, what's wrong with him? I'm in awe of God. He's incredible. He is incredible. But that minister said, I didn't have the fear of the Lord. And when we don't have the fear of the Lord, it becomes about what can you do for me? Absolutely, 100%. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Because if it was all about getting right and then being able to come into the presence of God, you don't even want to know where I would be right now. But I can promise you one thing, Joe would not be standing here. I would not. But God met me right where I was. Had mercy on me. And said, no, let me take you up. See, this is the second part of that. He loved me enough to meet me right where I was. But he loves me entirely too much to leave me there. Because where I am, where he met me, it was wonderful when he showed up. But the place that I was in was not good. I needed to be yanked up out of that place. And that's what he did. But it takes a choice. Everything that God has for us is available. Anytime. Anytime. The absolute moment Jesus walked out of that grave, the check cleared. Everything that he said would be ours was ours. Everything. He told the disciples that there would come a day they'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. What happened? They got it. Pentecost, 120 in the upper room. A sound like a mighty rushing wind came in, and cloven tongues of fire rested on each one of their heads. There is no promise that he's given us that's not available. But the promise cannot be God. It cannot be our God. God, it's the one who gave the promise. It's not the blessing, it's the blesser. That's what life is all about. Every last bit of it. And the second we make it about anything other than that, we're going to run into problems. We're going to run into hardship. I have. True story. Taking off running with my family. Because I get excited. I get really excited. And I hear a promise and I want it, Jack. I'm going for it. Full steam ahead. Whole lot of motion. I'm not very fast anymore, but I give it everything I got. And the Lord makes up the difference. Oh my gosh, that was not anointed at all. But take off running for these promises, and it's all fine and well. It is all fine and well, except we don't see them. And then we sit back and say, why? God, why? Now, why is this so crucial? Why does any of this matter in light of anything that's going on in the world? Because time's wrapping up, that's why. And as days start to dwindle to an end, church, we've always been under a microscope. In case you haven't figured it out yet, if you work in, I've been in construction for 25, 26 years now, okay? When you are a drug-using, alcohol-abusing, not good person, for the first 18 years of that job, and then all of a sudden you show up to work one day, and everybody that you've always drank with says, hey, we'll go out tonight and get a beer. Let's go get some wings. Let's go watch the game. It'll be a good time. And you're like, no, I'm good. You feel all right? Yeah, I feel fine. Yeah, but see, we're going to go out, and we're going to watch the game. We're going to have a few beers and some wings, and it's going to be a good time. No, I heard you. I'm not deaf. But I'm not going. And then it starts immediately. Oh. So what are you and your wife having a little problem? No, we're good. Okay. Well, you got to get up early tomorrow or something? Well, yeah, but that has nothing to do with it. Why? And eventually you get up the confidence and you say, because I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not. I almost lost everything. And the God who made everything we can see and can't see, that's my God now. That's my Savior. That's my Lord. Oh, I see. You're better than us. Oh, you're holier than thou now. Oh, I guess you're going to be one of those guys that walks around and takes the Bible and quotes it and tries to beat people up with it. It's, here we go. Here we go. But you know what goes along with that doubly? Not only are they going to take shots at you and go for it, because I took every shot there was to take you, Christians, so bring it, whatever. I don't care. Run your mouth. But what they do without talking is they sit back and they watch. And they wait. Let me see what happens. Let's see what happens if, and they all talk in their little circles, and there's always that one knucklehead who's got a little bit more guts than the rest of the guys. And he'll come up and just start chattering. But everybody else, don't think just because they're not talking, oh, they're watching. They want to see, are you going to fail? Are you going to crack? Are you going to cuss? I've done it before as a Christian. I've done it. One of the biggest struggles I had after I came to Christ, apart from drinking, was potty mouth. You can't work in construction for almost 2 decades and say, pow, with a hammer and go, gee golly, that hurt. You're not saying that. Sorry. And if you say you say that, you are a liar. I will pray for you. Because I have said some not holy things when I've hurt myself before. True story. But they want to see, are you going to crack? It's been that way from the beginning. Did you catch it? We don't mind. We realize when we read the scripture about Satan coming in, right? We know that he said, did God really say that you would die? But before he asked that question, he asked her this question. Did God really say that you couldn't eat from anything in the garden? See, first he wanted to see what she knew. And she knew. But then he took what he knew that she had spoken, that God had spoken, and he twisted it. Now, I know that you know what God said, but let's see how much you believe it. Did God really say you would die? Then she was like, well, I am kind of hungry. That is the Job translation. That is not anywhere in Scripture. But it says that she looked on the tree and saw that it was good for food. If I look at something and I see that it's good for food, I'm like, I am hungry. That looks really good. See, this is church. Let's laugh. Have fun. It doesn't always have to be, oh, heavy. Have a good time. God gave us a sense of humor. But do we believe it? I believe it. But I have to remember and I have to stay focused on who it was that said it. I can know all the live long day about any sports figure. I've used this analogy before. If you watch sports, take your favorite sports figure. I happen to like baseball. I can take a figure out, stick them out, and go, okay, it was Mookie Betts before. I'm not even going to get into the whole trade thing. But the last year that he was with the Red Sox, he batted .324, hit 27 home runs, batted in 118 runs, and had a slugging percentage of .475. I know a lot about Mookie Betts. I know he likes to bowl. I know he's bowled like four or five perfect games in bowling. He does a lot of charity work. He gives back to youth. He gives back to people in need, to women of domestic abuse who have experienced domestic abuse. He gives back to all these things. But if I go to L.A. and Mookie Betts is walking down the street, and I'm like, hey, Mookie, hey, he's going to be like, my God. Because I don't know him. I know who he is. I've watched him do incredible things on the baseball field, but I don't know that man, nor does he know me. So it can be with God. See, we can know about his promises. We can know and quote all kinds of scripture. Now, I'm not saying that it won't be, but I am pretty confident that when each one of us stand before the throne, God's not going to look at you and go, Romans 12, verse 6, go. I could be wrong. That might come my way now because I said that. But that's not what it's going to be, I'm pretty sure. He wants to, do I know him? So, if things aren't in the right order, if I don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if I don't seek that first, which to seek that, I have to seek him. I have to. I will never understand the kingdom of God. I will never understand truly his righteousness if I do not seek him. If I don't seek that first, nothing else is going to function properly. It's not going to. And we get away as baby Christians. And believe me, I saw incredible things seemingly for like the first 3 years of my walk with the Lord. It was like I could throw anything out there and something miraculous happened. It was like, this is awesome. But slowly as I matured, it didn't quite go the same all the time. He never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's calling us up to different places. Okay, I see you're rooted in this. Now, I want you to come up to this place and believe bigger, believe better, believe more. You can't, as a new believer, you cannot, well, maybe somebody can. There's no way I could have believed as a new believer, freshly saved. I did not have a miraculous come to Jesus moment. It was in the middle of my living room floor, hungover, sick from drugs. It was not pretty. It was ugly. But it was beautiful. But the next day, if you would have come to me, if Pastor Dave would have come to me and said, "Hey, man, we had this person just died a tragic death, and the Spirit of the Lord can do anything, and I want you to go tell that person to wake up and come out. Go lay hands on them and tell them to come back to life." I'd have been like, "You are out of your mind. That is not even possible." I wasn't even sure how salvation worked yet. I just knew that I had been saved. I thought. And I was, just for the record. But you have to believe here before you can believe here.
Right.
It's steps. Yeah. That's what, when Scripture says we go from glory to glory, that's what it's talking about.
Exactly right.
You get a hold of it here, and now once you've got this down, now let's move to here.
Yeah.
You want to see greater things? I need you to believe greater. I need you to trust me greater. I need you to seek me more than you seek everything else. And we are in a time and in an hour where the people that are watching the church, we need to be consistent. It's time to shed off the casual, if I feel like it, maybe. If not, no way. That's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
It is not God's will that any man should perish.
Yeah.
Well, God is not coming back down in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ, to make sure everybody gets saved. Jesus said, "Go into all the nations and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations." That's our job. He's not going to come back down and do it for us. But if we're going to do it, first, we have to seek Him. Not a promise, not a blessing, not, God is not an ATM machine. You do not go in and stick your spiritual card in and go, "How much is my balance? I want this blessing right here. Thank you. Hit me." It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. He loves us too much to be like that. Have you ever seen a child? Sorry if I'm scratching in somebody's kitty litter. Have you ever seen a child that is spoiled that just gets that right there? Just here, take it and shut up. Just here. You can have anything you want. Anything you want. They're brats. I got one amen. But they are. They throw temper tantrums. That's the kid in the grocery store that looked at mom and said, "Can I have the lollipop?" And when mom said, "No, not this time," they're laying in the floor screaming bloody murder like somebody just cut their pinky toe off. What is wrong with you? And what's mom always doing? "Now, Johnny, don't do that." Can I tell you what would have happened to me had I pulled that stunt? This is true story. My mom, this is true story. My mom actually, she pulled no punches. She did not. Like, it was quick. We got cracked. When we needed to be cracked, we got cracked. My dad's sitting right there. He can testify. But this is funny, complete side rant. My mom actually got yelled at right in Millington in the old Food Right parking lot because I was acting a fool. When she lit me up in the parking lot and there was somebody down there who was like, "I'm calling the police, child abuse." I was like, "Yeah, right on. You tell her. She hurt my butt." And I chuckled. That wasn't the right move. But I was acting like a brat. That's what it would be if that's how God was. But that's not God. He wants a relationship. He's not your step-parent. He doesn't want you on weekends only. He wants you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January through December. Every day, He wants you. Every day, He wants your heart. He made you to do glorious things. To minister to the people who don't know how good He is. The benefits are just that. All those promises, all those blessings, they come along. They're benefits. As we seek Him, it's just added to you. That's Jesus said it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He didn't say, if you seek it first, and then you beg on your hands and knees, God, please, give me what I have need of. He just said, seek Him first, and then everything would just be added to you. It is a benefit of seeking Him.
Yes. Amen.
Can I ask you a question? Would you, picture this for a moment. What would you think if somebody went to a business, okay? If somebody went into a business that had a sign out front, now hiring, and they went in, they filled out the application, did everything they had to do, turned it in, they got the phone call back 2 days later, hey, congratulations, you're hired, we're going to give you X amount of dollars per hour, this is how it's going to look, we need you here Monday morning, 8 a.m., right? Okay, great, got a job. And then Monday morning, 8 a.m. rolls around, and they don't show up. 9 o'clock, still don't show up. 10 o'clock, nope. Tuesday, still no. Friday morning rolls around, 8 o'clock, comes walking in the door. Hey, what's up? When do I get paid? What? Yeah, you hired me. I work here. When do I get paid? You don't. See where I'm going? You'd be like, no, you didn't get a pay. Like you had, you did. Yes, you were hired, but you didn't do anything else. I got saved. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. And then I sit on my couch and eat chips and queso all day, every day. I go to work. I provide for my family, but I don't go to church. Maybe there's some people that need help. Nah, that's cutting into my football time. Pass. There's a local youth group having an event going on. They're doing a fundraiser. Nah, that's cutting into my stuff. No. But God, you're going to bless me, right? How many times do we do that? I've done it. Guilty. I come to church. I do all the right things. But am I seeking Him first? Is He more important than anything else? Not my job. Not my, and it, see, this is the hard part. Not my job. Not my wife. Not my daughter. Not my son. Nothing else. Only Him. First. That doesn't mean I don't love my wife. That does not mean I don't care about my kids. But if I'm truly going to love them, God created marriage. So guess what that means? I have no idea how marriage should look apart from Him. No clue. I don't care how good your morals are. I don't care how good your uprightness is. Your marriage is not going to be what it could be if God was first place in your life. It will not be. Your children will not know love the way they could know love if God is not first. And I'm not saying this in a condemning manner. Don't take it that way. This is revelation that I have had over the last couple years. I have found out that I receive very hard lessons from the Lord very well. As a matter of fact, it's about the only way I receive it. Because subtleties just kind of, they'll fly right over my head. But when He comes in with that, hey, and it's not to hurt me. But when He finally comes in and is like, what are you doing? What do you mean? You know everything. If you know everything, it's kind of like a rhetorical question, right? But He's trying to get my attention. How foolish would it be for me to ignore Him, pay no attention to what His Word says, and just expect Him? Only take the parts that I want. Scripture is not a la carte. It's not sit down and pick this blessing, pick that good thing right there, and then take that and all the rest of it. No. It doesn't work like that, church. It's all of it. It's all of it. And the more mature you get in the Lord, and this is what I'm learning, you take all of it, or you're not going to see any of it. You'll see a little favor here and there. You will. Your needs will be met. But all that overflow that we read about, you're not going to see it. You're not. Because you haven't been responsible with a little. And if I haven't been responsible with a little, with earthly treasure, how in the world am I going to be responsible with heavenly treasures, with eternal things? He put us here. We are the only thing in all creation that He made with His hands. We're the only thing in all of creation that reflects His image. We are the only thing in all creation that He put His breath into. So every time you draw in and exhale, that's His breath. That is not yours. I know what science says. Whatever. That book says that He breathed in man's nostrils the breath of life. So, that's Him. That's all Him. It's almost as if He might love us or something. You parents sitting in here, can you imagine what it would be like if your children wanted absolutely nothing to do with you? No matter how much you reached out, no matter how much you tried to have that, and they just stay away. Stay away. But then when they needed something, they found your number. Hey, Dad, I'm a little short on cash. Can you spot me a couple hundred? Hey, Dad, my car's broke down. Can you come help me get it fixed? Where have you been? Where have you been? There's no relationship there. Like what, now? Now you need something? It's not a fun truth. But it's the truth. That's not the relationship God wants. And as things wind up, that is my prayer. That every single time you walk through that door, every single time you open that book, every single time you close your eyes and reach up to God, reach out to Him in prayer, you are expecting that encounter. God, change something in me. If it is not of You, burn it out. I don't want it. Because there are people who need to know just how good You are. Tomorrow's not promised. Heck, my next breath isn't promised. So why shouldn't we live like, you know what? I'm going to give it everything I've got. Imagine what it might be like one day if you were to get to heaven and see any one of the fathers of the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, any of these people. Because we live in an age right now that is incredible. And we take it for granted. We have nowhere else, at no point in time, did the Spirit of God indwell human beings. But that's the time that we're in right now. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Abraham did not have that. None of them did. Before Jesus, nobody in history had that. Can you imagine what it would be like to get to heaven and have one of them ask you, what was that like? What was that like? They had the Spirit of the Lord move upon them, rest on them, and carry them into doing incredible things. But it was never in here. It was never that still small voice guiding every step. Man, what was that like to have that gift to where you were a temple of the Holy Spirit? I can tell you a complete honesty. I would have to say, I just wish I did. Right now, at this point, as much as I've done, I wish I did more. I wish I listened more. I wish I quit worrying about everything else. Who cares what anybody else thinks? What are they going to say? They're going to say something anyway. Give them something to talk about. They're going to talk. But when it's all said and done, every single one of us will stand before a holy and righteous God, and there's not going to be anybody else there. It's just me. The first time I heard the voice of the Lord was sitting, we had a table that we called it the kids' craft table. My wife and I had been sober a whopping 6 months. And we were having one of those like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning discussions. And if you've never been through it and you don't know it, when you're an alcoholic for 18 years and all of a sudden God delivers you, delivers you like it's gone. Yeah. You think the world owes you something. You're like, ha ha, I'm sober and I'm here. What's up? But there was a lot of damage done. And everybody that you're going, hey, they're like, no. Not yet, buddy. We need to see some fruit first. But my wife had just got done telling me, just because you're sober doesn't mean everything's okay. She said, there are still days I resent you. And that was like somebody punched me in the stomach. It was a reality check. So Joe walked downstairs and I sat at the kids' craft table and I threw myself a pity party. I can't believe she said that. Who does she think she is? That was the first time I heard the voice of the Lord. And you know what he said? One day, you will stand before me and you will give an account for the blessings. And as soon as he said blessings, I saw my wife's face, I saw my daughter's face, and I saw my son's face. He said, you will give an account for the blessings that I have placed in your life and how you took care of them. What will you have to say for yourself? That was God's introduction. I'd never heard his voice before. And it shook me. It scared me to death. I was petrified. Because I can tell you, it was not an audible voice like mine is right now. But I promise you, I lifted my head up off that table and I looked around and went, oh God. Because I knew who it was. I didn't have to ask. But I thought he was standing right next to me in that moment. I was like, oh no. Messed me up. And you would think in that moment that everything would be hunky-dory, but it's not. Praise God for his mercy that's new every morning. Because I need it. We all need it. But I encourage you, seek first. Yeah. Don't worry about all the garbage. If you struggle when you turn on the TV, you get hung up and you binge watch shows for 2 hours, 3 hours. Hey, I've been there. I have done that in the past. I am much better about that now to where for the most part on television, I don't care what's on. But if you struggle with it, little encouraging tip, don't turn on the TV. If you turn on the news and you get all rung up, stop watching the news. There's nothing good on there. Anyway, I promise. If they talk for 30 minutes, 29 and a half of those minutes were lies. Good chance. Don't, just stop. I need to keep up on things. Read. Go old school. Find some choices. We have a lot of stuff at our fingertips on these stupid little boxes called phones. I don't know why we call them phones. People do all kinds of stuff on there. Phone calls are usually the last thing we do. But you have news anywhere. Find a trusted source. And read. Read your news from there. Don't get sucked into all the garbage. Oh my God, Wall Street's going to crash. Who cares? I have, wake up, in case you haven't figured it out yet, this country is trillions in debt. Does anybody know how checkbooks work? How checking account works? If I get to zero, that means I got no monies. That means if I write a check, I could play basketball with it. Bounce that thing all over the place. So guess what the numbers that we see? I get a paycheck, it's numbers on a screen, babe. That's all it is. Who cares? To grab a hold of that promise from Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Ready? There's three more words that follow that. In Christ Jesus. When we seek Him and we make sure that we're found in Him, then He will provide everything that we have need of. Not seek the promise, seek Him. Amen? Amen. Take some time tonight when you get home and just examine. Look at your life. And see if there is anything anywhere where you're missing it a little bit. Am I putting something above God in this area? And I challenge you to seek Him in that area and say, Father, I want You in this area. I want You. Whatever I have need of, I know it is found in Your glory. So I want You to be over this area. I don't want to be in control of it anymore. Look for it. I promise you, he's not going to be like, nah, sorry, too late. You missed it. If you were here this morning, you heard what Pastor Lacey said, the benefits never expire. You're never going to go to him, and he's never going to be like, you know, I'm not feeling that today. Sorry, I'm taking the day off, buddy. Put my feet up. Come back for your benefits tomorrow. He's not like that. Ask him. He's faithful.
Amen.
Amen? Let's pray, guys. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You that when we humble ourselves and when we seek You above everything else, You are faithful to meet us in that place and provide everything that we have need of. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. We don't have to worry about any of the natural things. If we would only seek You and Your kingdom first, You promise that all those things will be added to us. And I thank You for it. Any place where we are missing it and we're trying to do it in our own strength, I pray, Father, that You would expose that place now. And make it plain. Show us where it is, Lord, that we could repent and put You in Your rightful place in that area. Because You're a good Father. You don't want to see us struggle. You don't want to see us go down the wrong road. Like any good parent, you don't want to see your children fail. Any correction that You give to us, You give to us in love. It's for our benefit. So I thank You for exposing those areas and making them plain so that we can allow You to do what You do best and rule and reign over that place. I thank You for this time together with the family of God. You said to as many as received Jesus, to those You gave the right to be sons and daughters of God. I thank You that as we sit here right now, you are not far off. We are your sons and daughters sitting in your house, in your presence, God, basking in all that you have for us. In your love, God, I praise you and I thank you for this day, for your goodness and mercy. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. I forgot to welcome you, but I didn't forget to say, have a good night. We love you. Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, every Sunday morning. If you are looking for a church, come here. 140 Sally's Delight Farm Lane. I promise you won't be disappointed. I promise. Bless you. If you are here and you have something that you are struggling with, if you have an area that you want agreement, you can feel free to come forward. I will pray in agreement with you. If you have anything at all that you walked through that door with, that you don't want to leave with, come up here. I don't want you to leave with it no more than you want to carry it out that door. God's here, and he will meet you in this place. He's your Father, and he loves you. He loves you. Amen. If there isn't anything, then God bless you. Thank you for coming out on this wonderful Sunday evening. And we will see you Wednesday night for prayer, right? No. The shorts. I am a week ahead. Let me bring it back to this week. The shorts. Rick and Tammy. If you have never been to Rick and Tammy's on a Wednesday night, what you doing on Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
You need to come out. It is fun. It is fellowship. And if you leave hungry, that's your fault. Because that food is good. That food is really good. But in all seriousness, bless you guys. If there's anything, I'll hang around for a little while. I'd love to pray with you. But otherwise, bless you. Love you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.